And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another exciting Saturday Night Wine Stream and another exciting episode of Drink with Rick. I'm Rick, and tonight we're going to open a Malbec from Mendoza, Argentina. So I'm looking forward to trying this one out tonight and seeing what it tastes like, see how it pairs with the foods that we have selected for this evening. And my lovely wife, she has selected a nice little selection of foods to pair it with. And selected a selection. That's how it goes around here. And also we're going to review a porter, a kind of coffee vanilla porter. So I'm looking forward to trying that out as well. As you may know, I love porters. So I'm looking forward to trying this one to see how that fares. All right. If you're joining me for the first time or for the 222nd time, because this is the 222nd episode of Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, this is a stream of consciousness kind of show. I do have my show notes. They are right here as they always are. I don't always follow them verbatim. Sometimes I don't follow them much at all because, well, this is just a guide, a general guide. The show's not about me, okay? I'm just here to entertain you, to bring you the entertainment for the evening. The show is somewhat about the wine and the beer, as it is tonight. But the show is really about you and me getting together on a Saturday night, sitting back, relaxing with our favorite libations, our favorite snacks, whatever they are, wherever you are, and just having a good time. Now, if you want to join in on the chat live, right now we are live, and I'm going to show you where we are live. Let me get that pulled up here on our webpage. There we are. We are live on our Facebook page. The Facebook page is facebook.com/drinkwithrick. The YouTube channel is youtube.com/drinkwithrick. Twitch channel is twitch.tv/drinkwithrick1, Drink with Rick and the number one. Odyssey is odyssey.com/@drinkwithrick7. Now, I've got to refresh this for just a moment because it's showing last week's episode, but let's see how we're doing here. All right, look, we're live here on this episode. There we go. And that was last week's episode there. For those of you who can see it. Now, if you can't join us live on any of those venues, you can go to drinkwithrick.com. If you click on the post here for tonight's episode, scroll down and you'll see a little comment box. Add your comment into the box and I will respond in kind. It won't be right away. It will be later on, but I will do that at some point after the show, and then I will respond to you in the next episode of Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. Now, let me just double check and make sure that the podcast is all good. Yes, we're good. All right. The podcast, let me show you that. All right, I'm going to go back to that page. The podcast goes out Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. If you can't watch now, you can't watch later, you can always listen to the podcast, Drink with Rick, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, as long as that's around. I understand Google Podcasts is pretty much going away as well. Spotify, TuneIn, Blueberry.com, iHeartRadio, Deezer, Amazon Music, podcastindex.org, or by email. If you go to drinkwithrick.com, click on the subscribe page, click on the little blue button that says by email, put your email address in the box, and you will get the latest episode of Drink with Rick, the podcast, as soon as it comes out, and no salesman will call. Now, of course, you can also, if you want to, see in the right-hand corner there, for those who can see it right now, if you want to support the show, you can follow and like and subscribe. Please do, if you can. I mean, there's no obligation to do it, but if you like the show, please show your support. And a great way to show the support of the show is to like and subscribe and follow and all those good things on the Facebook and YouTube and Twitch and Odyssey and all those venues. Also, if you want to support the show monetarily, you can buy me a coffee or two or three or four or five or whatever you want to do. It's fine. It really doesn't cost that much, and every little bit helps. The show really is an expensive show to produce. I don't really make any money on this, so buying me a coffee actually really goes towards helping to pay for the prizes that we give away on the show and the giveaways, and we've got some planned for the upcoming holidays. So please, if you can, don't worry about it. But if you can, it would be greatly appreciated if you could buy me a few coffees and help support the show that way. That's what we've got there. All right. Well, tonight we've got this. I'm going to show you this just briefly here, and then we're going to go check the chats out. This is called Belhara Estate, and this is a Malbec from Mendoza, Argentina. I have done a little bit of research on this wine. I heard some okay things about it. This is the 2021 vintage. I didn't really see too many reviews on the 2021 vintage. Most of them were for earlier years, but we're going to open it up and try it out tonight. We're also going to try out this porter that I have. As a matter of fact, let me go ahead and show you, put that up. We're going to review this Wake Up Porter. This is from a local brewery here in Charlotte, North Carolina, called Wake Up Porter. That's the name of this brew. It is a coffee vanilla porter. So once again, I'm looking forward to trying both of these out tonight, and we'll give it a fair and an honest review. So that's what we have going on there. Plus dad jokes. If you're in the chats, drop in your favorite dad jokes. I have some dad jokes to give out tonight as well. And of course, we have the national days. Don't want to forget the national days. And do we have some national days to toast? Yes, we do. And I also have a couple of celebratory shout outs to give out to some friends and for some achievements. And I want to toast them as well. So, and if you have someone that you would like to toast, a birthday, an anniversary, a wedding, a birth, or anything like that coming up, feel free to drop it in the chats and we'll all toast it together. How about that? All right, let's check the chats for just a moment. Looks like we're good on Facebook right now, and we're streaming live on YouTube. Everything's going on YouTube, and Twitch is going good, and so are we on Odyssey, and everything's good. All right, so let's get on with the show, shall we? All right, so tonight, this is what we're going to do. We're going to open up this Belhara. Let me talk about this wine for a minute. This is a 2021 Belhara Estate Malbec. And what it says down here, single vineyard. It's from Mendoza, Argentina. Stephen Paul Hughes is the winemaker. And here's the back of the wine. I'm going to read the back of the wine for you. It is a dark label. It's a very dark label, so it's hard to see for those who are watching live. I'm going to read this. It says, Belhara Estate, Malbec 2021. These grapes were hand-harvested from our estate vineyards of the Uco Valley, fermented in small concrete tanks and aged in French oak barrels. The personality of our wines reflects the complexity of our alluvial terroir, composed of limestone plateau as well as calcareous white stone terraces. Produced and bottled by Belhara Estate in Mendoza, Argentina. Imported by Ivaki Incorporated in San Luis Obispo, California. The alcohol, the ABV. Here we are, 13.5% ABV in this 750 milliliter bottle of wine. And this is a Malbec. At least that's what it's supposed to be, right? All right, so that's what we've got going on here. Let's go ahead and open the wine so we can get on with the festivities for the evening. And I have my foil cutter here. So I will cut the foil. All right. There we are. It came off really nicely. And then, of course, I have my mechanical corkscrew. Now, we haven't used this. Excuse me there. We haven't used that. I don't know what I was saying. Excuse me, too. It's just junk on the floor. And no, Roadkill Bill's over here. He's coming up later. All right, this mechanical corkscrew should be working tonight. It's been a little while since we've used it, actually. I think a couple of weeks since we've used it, because we've had screw caps. All right, we'll set that aside for a moment. All right, and let's see. We have the aerator. Let's put the aerator in there, get that going, and hopefully there's no displacement. We had some displacement issues last week, and it just shot wine everywhere, including all over me. And, of course, since then, my lovely wife, Chi, has done a fabulous job of cleaning it off my sweater here. So I really appreciate that. Thank you, Chi. All right, no displacement. It has a fair, not super deep, but it's a fairly deep punt. Goes up to about the first knuckle on my fat finger. All right, so we've got that in place. Let's get to pouring. To hold the grape nectar, I have my genuine Galway Irish crystal glass given to me by my employers at buy2wayradios.com. And to hold the glass of nectar, of grape nectar, I have my official Drink with Rick coaster. By the way, I'm kind of low on these right now because I've gotten quite a few of these away. I'm kind of low, so I'm suspending giving any more freebie ones away until the holidays, right about the holidays. So we'll be doing that. Anyway, so I've got everything in place. Let's pour a little bit of this wine into the glass. There we go. Get a little bit going there. Not too much for starters. Let's set the bottle aside. And then let's give it a good swirl. Now we're going to need some swirl music. And for starters, let me see what we got for swirl music. I think I'm just going to go with the cowbell, more cowbell, right? So here we go with the swirl music and more cowbell. Give it a nice swirl here. Get it going really good. Okay, more cowbell. I think this got it. Okay. Swirling pretty good. All right. So we've got the swirl going. And why do we swirl? For two reasons. One, because it helps to get the oxygen in the wine, helps get it aerated and get that air flowing in there. Second reason is because it's just fun. Okay. So we're going to set this aside for a moment or two to let it breathe. And while it's breathing, let me check the chats one more time, just briefly. All right, we're good there. While it's breathing, let's go ahead and learn a little bit more about this wine. So I looked around online, saw it in a few places. It's listed. If you look up the Belhara Estates Malbec, I see it is listed in a few places. I did notice that a couple places had a review or two on it. They were pro reviews there was one place that had a pro review and you couldn't see it unless you logged in. So I'm not looking at that review. All right, Wine Searcher has it listed and they gave it a 3-star rating from 3 critic reviews at WineSearcher.com. Did not look at their ratings. I don't know what that was all about. It says currently no prices for the USA and North Carolina, except in North Carolina. Now, they do have a price for California and Santa Monica. Santa Monica Fireside Cellars, they have it for $27.99, and that's the 2015 one. So I don't know if that's still current or not. That's excluding sales tax, by the way. All right. Well, I'm just going to close that out because that's not very helpful. Okay, Vivino has it listed for a $7.99 average price, and they've got they give it out of 5 stars, 3.8 stars. Okay, a little above average. Okay, are still kind of average. Out of 1,694 ratings currently. And now the thing is, the latest vintage that they have is 2020. So they do not seem to have anything for the 2021 vintages, which apparently is what I have here. However, from what I have heard, that it is pretty much probably about right for the price. Now, this is what I paid for, because I purchased mine. I think I purchased mine at Trader Joe's. As a matter of fact, I saw this at Trader Joe's, and it caught my eye because it was the label was interesting. It was kind of sort of, it seemed a little subdued, I think. But Belhara Estate Malbec, Trader Joe's, I paid. No, you know what I need? I keep forgetting about this. I need, drum roll. It's Belhara Estates Malbec is $8.99 is what I paid for it. $8.99 at Trader Joe's. There you go. It's on the top line there. If you can't see it, don't worry. I can barely see it myself. And I got it right up my face pretty much. All right, $8.99. So it's a dollar higher, more than what the average was that they had listed at Vivino, vivino.com. So let's go ahead. Let me check the chats one more time. I don't want to miss the chats. That's the thing. I've done that too much lately, and I don't want to miss the chats. And if you're watching in the chats, just jump in and say hi. Tell me how you're doing. J-Con is in the chat on Odyssey. It's great to see you, J-Con. And J-Con says, average seems like top shelf if you have drank enough. You know, there is something to be said for that. Really, yeah, exactly. Average, it does seem to be top shelf if you drink enough of it. That's absolutely true. And anyway, J-Con, thanks for that. Yeah, that is truth. I tell you what, when back in the day when I was drinking $2 Chuck, when it was still $2 or $2.99, it got to a point that you drank enough of it, and it really it seemed to, yeah, it didn't matter. It didn't really matter anymore. That's true. But glad you're here. Stick around, because we're going to review this wine and we're going to review a beer, a porter. Do you like porters? What's your favorite wine, by the way, J-Con, or beer, or whatever it is that you like to drink? And actually, tell me what you're drinking, if you're drinking anything at the moment. Tell me what you'd like to be drinking, or like to see me drinking, and if I can afford a bottle of it, I'll see if I can go out and find it so I can drink it too. I've had many requests for, try this and try that, and sometimes I can find them, but in North Carolina, in our area, the distributor that serves this area pretty much, they're kind of locked into certain distributors here. We can't always get those labels. We can't always get those wines from those. And it seems kind of strange, actually, because I can see hundreds. I go to these places and see hundreds and hundreds of different wines. Why can't we get that one over here? I don't know. It's just the way it works here in North Carolina, I guess. Anyway, so let's go ahead and give this a little bit of a whiff and give it a little bit of a taste and see what it's like. Now, right on the nose, a little oaky, and smells like some black fruit in there. And it does smell a little earthy. Let's give it a taste. Okay. There's a fair amount going on here. This is a fairly bold wine, which is not unusual for a Malbec like this. It's also medium tannins. Tannins are medium on this wine. This is a, I'm getting some blackberry right off the nose and a little bit of black cherry. just a hint. But it is, it's just a little bit oaky. And I'm no doubt that's from the French oak barrels. A little oaky. And it's a little, just a little bit on the jammy side for starters. But and it's interesting because on the tongue, when I first put it on the tongue, it tastes a little sweet. There's a little sweetness on the tongue, and then as it goes down quite dry. Not super dry, but fairly dry. So there's a little sweetness at the outset. As it goes down, and in the finish, it's very dry. And it does have quite a long finish. And I am tasting just a little bit of alcohol in here, which leads me to believe, what did it say on the, let me go back here. It was on the back of this wine. What did they say it was? They said it was 13.5% ABV. I'm getting more, it tastes more like maybe 14.5%, maybe 15. It's a little bit more. Now, in the other places I looked at, I didn't really look at these reviews to say per se on some of these things, but it's now I'm looking at some of the reviews and some of these things, and it's they're saying that it's a bit smoky. Yeah, it's a little smoky. Okay, but it's. Yeah, it looks like someone was tasting cherry in it. I'm not getting cherry. I'm getting kind of black cherry, I guess, since it's kind of cherry. Blackberry, definitely getting blackberry on it. But some have reported getting some plum out of this, and I'm not tasting that. Maybe once it opens up, maybe. And that happened a couple of weeks ago in a wine that I tasted that I tried it out, and on the bottle it said that there was plum, and I didn't taste any plum at all until towards the end of the show, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, yeah, it is. I'm starting to taste some plum in here now, and I think it just has to open up a bit. I think it's basically what it is. It just has to open up somewhat, open up a little bit more. And of course, as I always say, you don't really know what a wine is like. You don't know the real, true personality of a wine until you get down into the bottle. You know? And Jaycon, I bet you can agree with me on that. Jaycon says, Cabernet is my favorite. Too many options to pick a favorite. 19 Crimes is decent. You know, I've had the 19 Crimes before. And it is a fairly decent wine. There are a lot of wines around that price range, around that tier, that are actually pretty decent that are sold over the counter. There is now my sister Gina, who's been on the show quite a bit in the past. Not too long ago, she messaged me and she showed a short video of a gentleman who was holding up a Prisoner wine, and he was talking about how the Prisoner wine, because you know that's a fairly expensive wine, it's a little pricey in the $35, $40 range, depending on where you are. And I think that was, yeah, it was a Prisoner wine, wasn't it? Yeah. And I have a Pessimist down here, an empty bottle of Pessimist that we opened up in, I think, season two, I think we opened that up. And the Pessimist and the Prisoner are very, very similar. It's from the same producer. But the guy on the video who worked in the wine store, apparently, that he was saying that, look, this is kind of a, I don't know if you'd call it a scam, but he says this is really overrated because this, and then there's another wine on the bottom shelf that was a much lower tier wine that was only about $6 or $7. And it's basically, it tastes pretty much the same because it's basically the same wine. And that's, once again, we've talked about that many times before on the show. That's one of the dirty little secrets about this wine business is that, you know, you'll get a top tier or what they consider a top tier wine. And what they'll do is, you know, they'll sell off, you know, some of the bulk of that wine, that vintage, to other wineries. Other wineries will buy it in bulk and then repackage it as, you know, they'll repackage it under their own label or a different label or something. And you don't know that it's actually the same wine as that $40, $50 wine that they're selling in the top tier. And, you know, it's, yeah, there's a lot of that sort of thing that goes on in the wine business. So really, and I said that so many times before in the past, is that you don't really want to buy a bottle of wine based on price. You just don't. Because chances are, if you're buying a bottle of wine that's $50 or $60 or something, it's quite possible, and there are a few exceptions, there are always exceptions, but a good deal of the time you're probably getting ripped off, because it's possible that that same wine has been sold in bulk to some other, wine, I don't want to say producer, because they're not really producing the wine. They're just buying it in bulk and then rebottling it themselves under a different label. It might be down there, it might be $10, $8, maybe less a bottle. So, you know, I would say, yes, Jaycon, I would agree that, yes, Jaycon says it's all about marketing. It's all about marketing. So, there you go. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, let's do some pairing with this wine, with the foods. And let me show you the foods that my lovely wife, Chi, has prepared tonight. Tonight, we got camera three up here. And tonight we have some chicken that she made here. It's sort of like a General Tso's chicken or something. And then we have a what is this? This is a filet mignon. And okay, before you get all excited, you're eating filet mignon. No, those of you who watch the show, have watched it for a long time, know that this is all leftovers. And these are leftovers of leftovers. So, I'm not eating filet mignon every night. This is just the leftovers of leftovers of something special we had a little while ago. And we're just going to pair it up with this. No, I'm not that highbrow, and I don't have that kind of a budget where I can just make, or my wife can just make a meal just for this show. Not yet. Probably not ever, but not yet. Okay, so we have this chicken. Now, this is interesting because this type of chicken, which is a more of a spicier chicken, this might go okay with a Malbec. Normally, I would say, not really a chicken kind of wine, but I think this might work out pretty well. The way chicken is prepared can oftentimes go fairly well with a red wine. And you know what? As Jaycon said earlier about seeming like top shelf, it doesn't matter if you drink enough of it. Kind of in the same vein, if you want to try to pair the wines up with the right foods, of course, but if all you got is the wine that you got, drink it. Okay? All right. Whoops. Okay, I would say that, I would say it's kind of meh. Not really the best pairing on that chicken, but it's okay. I think the sauce in there kind of helped a little bit to make that better. If it was just chicken with this wine, just like regular roast chicken, I don't know. Let me clear the palate. All right. A little water to clear the palate. Let's go back to camera three. And let's try it. Okay, let's try it with the filet mignon. I am sure that this Malbec will be just fine with that. This is a pretty decent wine for red meat. And this is a pretty good red meat for wine. Oh, yeah. Leftovers are leftovers, but still, it's still pretty good. And I want to give kudos to my lovely wife, Chi, for that. Not bad. And the oakiness in the wine does accentuate the smoky flavor of this meat, because she did grill this up. And so it's a little on the smoky side. But that oaky, that kind of smokiness in the wine, really does match up pretty well with this meat. I think this is a very good pairing overall. So, yeah, I'm good with that. Let me go ahead and clear the palate one more time. We'll try it with a couple of cheeses. And let's go back to camera three. And we have, now what we have here is the, this is the creamy Toscana with coastal Syrah. This is from Trader Joe's. Creamy Toscana with coastal Syrah. And I like this cheese. It's gone really well with several wines that we've reviewed in the past. I think it's starting to taste a little bit, yeah, it's starting to taste a little prime right now. Still good though. Nice. Nice pairing up here with this. I like it. It's pretty decent. Okay, and what do we have left here? We got another cheese here. Let me clear the palate one more time. Yeah, once again, the oakiness kind of works well. And that cheese has, it says with coastal Syrah, it has a little Syrah wine in it, which if it has a red wine in there, mixing with this Malbec, and not a bad little bit of blend there with the wine and the wine cheese or whatever, wine-flavored cheese. It's not a really heavy Syrah flavor in the cheese, but it's there. It's there. All right, let's go back to camera three. And let's try it with the... Did I clear the palate? Let me do it one more time. All right, let's go here back to camera three. And let's try it with the Trader Joe's Double Cream Gouda. Trader Joe's Double Cream Gouda, which we've never had a mist on. And on occasion... This cheese has actually saved the wine. It's good. And once again, I think that this one, the Double Cream Gouda, winner again. It works really well with the wine because the Gouda, just a slight hint of smoky flavor to it, works good with this wine. So I'm good with it. I think that's a good pairing. Overall, the wine's not bad. The wine is pretty decent, and for $8.99, a little bit higher than what I would pay for this wine so far, but it's not a bad price. I'd probably buy another bottle, but once again, I'll give you my final review at the end of the show. We've gotten down into the bottle. In the meantime, let's get back to the chats. Jane Con wants to know, what are your thoughts on box wine? I just bought one called Game Box on sale for $15. Game Box. I've had a few box wines. In fact, we reviewed one on the show, I think, towards the end of season two. And that was the black, Black Box wine is what it was. I think that's what it was. Is that what it was called? I work for a radio retailer, and we sell black box radios, and that's what the correlation with black box wine. That's why it's stuck in my head. But I think that's what it was called black box wine. And I hadn't had it since, as I recall. It was a little bit. I kind of want to say that it was a little bit bold. For my taste, but it wasn't bad. It wasn't a bad wine. Overall, box wine, wow, that's a very good question, J-Con, because I have some very mixed feelings about box wine. On the one hand, I think some of the box wine I've had is actually pretty decent, and I can't complain. And if someone served it to me and I didn't know that it came, that it was actually a box wine, unless I'd actually seen the box, I probably wouldn't have really detected that right away. On the downside for me is that I think, and as you were talking about, it's all about marketing. There are some people that are really purists, I guess you could say, when it comes to wine, and that it should come from a bottle. It shouldn't come from a can. It shouldn't come from a lined can. It shouldn't come from a box. It should come from a bottle. And of course, we all know the box wine is really, for the most part, it's really packaged in like a plastic sack, pretty much. I think when people see a box wine, when they're used to the bottle, there is that sort of that stigma. So psychologically, I think a lot of people are sort of biased about that. Now, some people don't care, and some people think, oh, yeah, box wine is fine, and then there's no problems. For some others, it's, you know, you get to some of these sommeliers, whatever. And I'm not a sommelier. I'm just an everyman who likes to drink wine, and I'm honest about what I think of the wines. And there have been sommeliers out there, wine experts that have trained for their palates for years and decades, and that's fine. And they'll say, well, this wine's great, or this wine's not. I don't always agree with them because it's just what I like, and it's what you like. I mean, everyone's taste is different. Everyone's taste in wine is different. And just because some sommelier out there says, well, this is the perfect wine, you know, or this is a terrible wine, it doesn't necessarily mean you're not going to like it. Well, you might not like it. You might like it. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to apply in your case because, once again, there are people out there that drink, well, they'll drink just about anything. And my dad was like that. My dad was, he was a guy that he drank a lot of wine, but he never really took the time to really develop a palate for the different wines. He just liked to drink. He liked to drink wine, liked to drink anything, really. He was the kind of guy that if you put a bottle of wine in front of him, it was like, oh, it was okay. I remember, I have a story. I mean, he's not with us anymore, so I can tell this story. I had, my wife and I had purchased a nice wine set for him for his, it was for his birthday 1 year. And he came down to visit us for Thanksgiving or for the holidays 1 year. And it was his birthday around that time. And so we bought him a nice birthday gift. And then I bought him a nice, it was like a $40 bottle of wine. It was really, really nice wine. And I'd spent a considerable amount of time researching it and hand picking out and everything. I thought he'd really enjoy it. And so I gave it to him. And it was kind of like, he liked the wine set. But, you know, he looked at the wine. He said, okay, well, that's wine. And so some months later, I called him up and I said, well, Dad, how did you like the wine that I gave you for your birthday? How did you like the wine we gave you? And he said, it was okay. It was okay. And it was a nice bottle of wine. And then I'm like, well, okay. At that point, I really knew that his taste in wine was just a taste for wine. Didn't really matter what it was. But no, to Jaycon, I know I got off. That's what we do here on this show, stream of consciousness. Jaycon, to answer your question, really, my thoughts on box wine, yeah, I have to say I'm a little bit biased because I'm really more of a traditional, you know, bottle wine guy. But I've tried to put that aside over the years and realize that box wine, you see more and more of it out there. And I found the box wines I've tried were really not that bad. So I've kind of lost a lot of my bias for that, and I've just come to say, okay, you know, if it's boxed, you know, I'll drink it. If it's a decent wine. I'm not going to hold the fact that it's being held in a box as opposed to a bottle. I'm not going to hold it against the wine. So let's check the other chats here on Facebook, and we're good on Facebook and YouTube. All right, tell you what, let's go ahead and we've got some National Days toast. Let's toast the National Days. By the way, Jaycon, what are you drinking? Or are you drinking anything? It's okay if you're not. It's fine. You don't have to drink anything. You can watch me drink if you want, but it's more fun if we're drinking together. It's just more fun that way. I'm just saying. All right. So, by the way, I want to give a shout-out to my lovely wife, Chi, who prepared the dish tonight with the really nice foods. She has a nice presentation here, and this is for the National Days, and I want to give her a quick shout-out, a round of applause for that. Thank you very, very much to my lovely wife, Chi. I know she's watching. Okay, so I have to behave myself, right? All right, so I always have to behave myself. Where were we? Oh, yes, National Days. So let's get ready and toast the National Days, and we have some National Days to toast. Jaycon says White Claw. Okay, so you're drinking a White Claw. Okay, you know, a beverage that has some alcohol in it. It's a little bit. I think, doesn't White Claw have about somewhere between 5, I think it's 5 and 8%? I think usually, ABV. Jaycon says, but we'll get a glass of that box wine here soon. All right, that's the way to do it. Nothing wrong with a White Claw, actually. Look, it doesn't really matter. You don't have to be drinking wine on this show. If you're watching the show, yeah, 5%. That's what I thought it was, around 5. I thought it was 5 to 8, but it's about 5%. You can drink whatever you want. You can drink, and I tell people this every week, just about, you don't have to drink wine. You don't even have to like wine to watch the show. You can drink beer. You can drink cider. My son, he's not really a wine drinker, but he loves his ciders. You can drink mead. We've reviewed meads on the show in the past, and I love a good mead. You can drink rum. You can drink tequila or rum and tequila. Just be careful about that. You can drink whatever you want, gin, vodka, whatever you want, it's fine. You can drink juice. You can drink water, whatever you want to drink, coffee, tea. It's fine. As long as we're drinking together, that's the whole point of this. As long as we're just drinking and snacking and just having a good time together. We're just sitting back and relaxing on a Saturday night. Just having a good time. That's what this is about. It's very informal. So no worries on that. All right, so we've got the National Days to toast. And let me pull these up here. So the National Days, and we can all get a glass and toast the National Days together. And whatever you're drinking, we're all just going to toast. All right, and let me get everything ready here for the National Days. All right, and October 14th, today's October 14th, 2023, and that's for another hour and 4 minutes. So today, and by the way, these are all courtesy of nationaldaycalendar.com, before I forget. Nationaldaycalendar.com is Marlo Anderson's site. He is the CEO of nationaldaycalendar.com and the curator of all these National Days. So let's get going, and let's toast the National Days. October 14th, Saturday, 2023, is National Real Sugar Day. It's National Real Sugar Day. And yes, I did check what my lovely wife, she prepared today. And yes, she has some things with some real sugar in there, I believe. So I'm going to have to be careful about that. I'm trying to cut down on the sugar. But National Real Sugar Day, okay, I'll drink to that. There is sugar in the wine. The wine has sugar in it. The beer has sugar in it. There isn't much these days that doesn't have some form of sugar in it. The things that we consume. Just got to be careful about that. But here's the National Real Sugar Day. I'll drink to that. All right. It's also I Love Yarn Day. Second Saturday in October is I Love Yarn Day. I guess I love yarn. I don't know. We'll drink to I love yarn. Some people do love yarn. All right, I'll drink to that. Today is also National Motorcycle Ride Day. Motorcycle Ride Day. Okay, why not? I'll drink to that. See how this works? We name a national day and then we all just toast it. All right, it's also National Chess Day. I love chess. You like chess? It's been a while since I've played it, but I like chess. And it's National Chess Day. So I will drink to that. Here's to National Chess Day. It's also National Costume Swap Day. That's second Saturday in October. National Costume Swap Day. I don't even really know what that's about. I didn't even look it up. I'm assuming for costumes for, why not? We'll toast it. All right, now we're coming up to the ones that are really interesting. Now, I did mention it's National Real Sugar Day. The other thing is it's National Dessert Day. Yes, it is National Dessert Day. I like that. And in honor of National Dessert Day, my lovely wife, Chi, her presentation tonight has to do with, now usually she does these food presentations with her, which are just about all edible. And I didn't really have time to get a picture of it on the site on the show tonight. So, oops, let me go ahead and put it back up here. But I do have, let me get this other camera. That's better. This is what it looks like from the front. This is her presentation. I'm not sure exactly what that is for. But this is the dessert that she prepared for National Dessert Day. I'm not sure what's in there. Maybe she can get in the chat and tell me. But there is a strawberry. It looks like strawberry shortcake is what it looks like. Strawberry shortcake. So we're going to try. And it looks like some icing there, too. So we're going to try a little bit of that. I'm going to put it down here so I'm not making a mess. She did warn me there were a couple of toothpicks holding things in place. So she said, be careful not to eat the toothpicks. I will try not to. In the meantime, I'm sort of decimating this thing to get it. This is kind of a, I don't know what's in here, to be honest. I really, really don't know what's in here. But we'll try it. Not bad. Tastes like there's real sugar in it. Not bad. I bet it goes good with the wine. Oh, yeah. Actually, it's kind of fruity. It works pretty well with the wine. Well, I like that. I'm going to have some more of that a little bit later. All right, that's not bad. She did not tell me what this is, but it's pretty good. It's pretty good. That's, I sort of made a mess out of it a little bit there. But, all right, I can drink to that. All right, to National Dessert Day, I'll drink to that. Oh, yeah. Yes, desserts have what made me the man I am today. All right. Not that there's anything to be proud of. All right. Jacon left a... I'll have to check that out a little bit. This is the cab. This is the... The Gamebox 2019. Okay, so he's got a wine review. Gamebox 2019 Cabernet Sauvignon California USA 3L cask. All right, I'll have to take a look at that a little bit later here. Jaycon says, I lucked out today with National Dessert Day. My wife made some apple turnovers. The apple orchards are open. When is the last time you've been to one? The last time I've been to an apple orchard? It's been a long time. It's been years since I've been to an apple orchard. Now, I have relatives and friends who have an apple orchard. They've been running one, the family owned for a long, long time. And so I've had the opportunity to go up there. I just haven't been able to go up there yet. But I had the occasion. One of these days I have to go up there to the apple orchard. My wife, she has been wanting to go up there for some time. But and you know, the thing about apple orchards, Neil comes from apple orchards. Cider, apple cider. Good apple cider. And a friend of mine where I work, he is making some cider at home. And cider is actually very, very easy to make. So I was thinking that, you know, what we might do here towards the end of the season here is maybe do a little cider making on the show. That could be fun. Make some cider. I think I could get into that. All right, well, here's to, once again, to, what was it? National Dessert Day. I'll drink to that again. Well, apple turnover is great. I like a good apple turnover. Those are really good. When they're made right, they're really, really good. My wife makes a really great apple pie. It's one that she's worked on, a recipe she's worked on for years and years. Anyway, I digress. Let me finish the national days here for just a moment. We'll get back to some more fun. Everybody ready to toast the next national day? There's one more national day for today, Saturday, October 14th, 2023. And it is, you're not going to believe this. Today is Be Bald and Be Free Day. That's right. It's Be Bald and Be Free Day. National Be Bald and Be Free Day. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll drink to that. I kind of have to, don't I? I'll drink to that. Yeah. I'll drink to that. Be bald and be free. You know, my wife, I'm just going to ignore her. I'm going to try. So my wife has been, for months, has been trying to get, well, actually more, longer than that. My wife and my kids have been suggesting that I go completely bald. I mean, shave it all off completely. No, I'm almost there. I'm almost there now. My wife cuts my hair. She's the only one I let cut my hair. I like the way she cuts my hair. He's done. Okay. So she's the only one I let cut my hair because I like it. I like the way she does it. And probably no one else does, but I do. So, and I'm the one who has to wear it all day. But they've been suggesting for quite a while that I shave it all off completely. Like, right now, I've got the Captain Picard look, which is okay for me. But they want me to shave it all off and look like, I don't know, Yul Brynner or Kojak or somebody. I've been contemplating it, but I don't really know. I don't really know. So last time when she cut my hair last week, she said, let me just do it. Let me just shave it all off. Just shave it all off. I'm like, no. I've been resisting that. But someone suggested to me that I should poll everybody in the wine stream and say, should you shave it all off? Should I just go completely bald? So I'm going to put it to you. Should I go completely bald here? I don't want to make the show about me, but since everyone else is going to have to look at my head for, every week, What do you think? Would it be better if I just shaved it all off or not? I mean, I'll just let me know. And send in your comment. You can leave the comments in the chat on, or leave the comments in the chat, or leave the comments at drinkwithrec.com for this episode, or just email me and leave a comment there at drinkwithrec.com. Rick at savoymedia.com, excuse me. Rick at savoymedia.com. So be bald and be free day. Yeah, I did drink to that, and I'll drink to it one more time. Why not? All right. Oh, by the way, October 15th, we got a couple for October 15th that I do want to make a point on. So let's put the toasting back in there. October 15th, which is Sunday, which is going to be today in about 52 minutes Eastern time. It's Global Hand Washing Day. All right. Everybody should wash their hands. Okay. I'll drink to that. But it's also National I Love Lucy Day. Yes, today or tomorrow or Sunday is going to be National I Love Lucy Day. And
Oh yeah,
here's the thing: I love Lucy. Does everybody love Lucy? It's a classic TV show, and it's the show that really defined television. It really did. It defined TV, and it's one of my. One of Chi's favorite shows, by the way, as a matter of fact. She really loves it. And it's a good show. Good show. So, sure, here's to National, what was it? National I Love Lucy Day. I'll drink to that. All right. I think that does it for the national days. Once again, this is what we're drinking tonight, the Belhara Estate. This is a 2021 Malbec. It's a single vineyard Malbec. This is from Mendoza, Argentina, and I love a good wine from Argentina. This is actually pretty decent wine, 13.5% ABV. As I'm getting down to the bottle, it's actually pretty decent. Medium tannin. The tannins are medium, but they're fairly smooth. Fairly smooth. As a matter of fact, this wine itself is kind of smoothed out just a little bit as it's opened up. And not bad. The blackberry, the black cherry I'm still getting. I'm still not tasting any plum that I heard about. I'm not getting that in the wine. But I am getting it. It is a little on the oaky side, and that's because of the French oak barrels that it's been aged in. So that's not surprising at all. It does have a little, not really smoky, but maybe a little leathery, just a little bit, not a whole lot. But it's actually pretty decent. It's a decent wine, $8.99. We have something else to try out here, though. I'm going to set the wine aside because we're going to review a beer. And this is what we're going to review tonight for the beer. It's called Wake Up Porter. It's a coffee vanilla porter. And I guess it has coffee in it. So we are going to be, yeah, I know. It's something to talk about. Something to talk about. So we're going to give it a try here. Let me get back to the chest for just a minute. And see how we're doing there. My lovely wife, Chi, is in the chat. She says that was strawberry shortcake. I was correct. Strawberry shortcake. Thank you, Chi. I appreciate it. It was very good, actually. And J-Con says, have you ever thought about growing a beard to go with that bald head? I say you shave it all off and grow a beard. Chi, what do you think about that? That's really up to my wife. I'll tell you what, there's a story here, and once again, it's a stream of consciousness kind of show. We got time. Why not? I'm going to tell you a little story about beards. And do I have a picture somewhere? I think I do. Yes, I do. I'm going to have to find it. I'm going to have to find it in my photos. I do have a photo. You were asking me about a beard. Well, let's see. Do I have this photo up here? I don't. Maybe I do. I don't know. I had a photo up here. Because I did, we were toasting National Beard Day at some point, and so that's why I put the photo in here. And I've got so many photos in here. I don't know where it all is. I don't even know if I still have it up here. Maybe I don't. Well, I'll see if I can find it later. I don't know what I did with it. Maybe I took it down. Maybe I did. But it's, I must have. All right. Anyway, I digress, as usual. Yeah, I wonder what happened to the photo. Yeah, there was a time when I did have a beard. When I worked at Walt Disney World, this was back in the late 70s and early 80s, Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida, we weren't allowed to have facial hair. The only cast members, that's what they call employees there, cast members. The only cast members that were allowed to have facial hair were people who were actually performing, like the street performers and whatever, because they kind of had to be in character for that sort of thing. But no one else could have facial hair, which is kind of ironic since Walt Disney himself had a mustache. Okay. Walt Disney could have a mustache, but not anybody else. I thought that was somewhat disingenuous, but those were the rules. So when I left Disney, before I left Disney, I had said, I made a promise to myself that, you know what, as soon as I quit Disney, I'm going to grow the biggest, fullest beard that I can. Just to do it, because just to be rebellious, I guess. Just to say I could. So that's what I did. When I quit Disney, that was the first thing I did. As a matter of fact, I was on leave from Disney for an operation. It was not an eardrum operation, okay? It was a different kind of operation. But I was on leave from Disney, and then while I was on leave, I had 6 weeks of leave time from Disney to recover from the operation. And during the last 2 weeks, I turned in my 2 weeks' notice. And I came in, after turning in the 2 weeks' notice, I came in to say goodbye. And they had already put me on the schedule and says, well, you're going to be working, you're going to start working. And like, no, I'm not coming back. I told them when I put in my 2 weeks, I'm not coming back. Before I put in my 2 weeks, I said, I'm not coming back. And they didn't believe me because I'd been there for 9 years, going on 10 years. I said, nah, you're going to be a lifer here. So when I came in, turned in my 2 weeks' notice, and I said, no, I'm not coming back. And then they saw that I had actually quit. They were just shocked. They were like, what? He quit? You quit? And they were telling me, yeah, no, don't quit. Don't quit. And I was like, no, I can't do this anymore. So I had already, while I was recovering from my surgery, I had already started growing it. And that's what happened. I went and turned up my 2 weeks' notice. They saw me with the facial growth. They said, you're going to have to shave that when you get back to work. And I said, no, I'm not. I said, yeah, you were. That's the rule. And I said, no, I'm not, because I'm not coming back to work. And I'm like, what? So that was how that went. And I kept that beard on for years and years. And there is one thing. There is one thing that caused me to shave that beard off. And that was my lovely wife, Chi. She did not like the facial hair. She did not like the beard. She loved the rest of me. But she did not like my beard, and that was what she said. She said, I want you to shave that beard off. So I did. I did it for her. Actually, I was getting a little tired of it anyway, but mostly I just did it for her. And she was really happy about that. And that's when she knew that I loved her. Romantic story there. True story, by the way, actually. True story. Jaycon says, have you ever thought about, I read that. Jaycon says, when picking a wine, should I pay attention to the year? Have you noticed a taste difference in older wines? That is also a very good question. Jaycon, you're asking some great questions tonight. But also, before I answer the question, Jaycon, because I really value your input tonight. And by the way, Ed's in the chat on Facebook. I know I jump back and forth, but Ed's in the chat, and my good friend Ed. And great to see you, Ed. Ed says, Bearded Ed greets you. Yes, Bearded Ed. You know what? And Ed, you look great with a beard, by the way. You look very, very regal. You look very much like a professor. You know what I mean? You look like a very well-read, well-learned professor with the beard. You have that kind of look. You know, like someone who's very knowledgeable, professor like. I like that look on you, by the way, Ed. It looks great. And I commend you on the beard. Because where was I here? I was going to put this up here. Here we go. That's for Ed. Ed, by the way, stick around because I've got something to show you, as a matter of fact. Ed and I worked at Disney for many years together. And let me check Twitch. Twitch is kind of quiet. We got folks watching on Twitch. I can see there are folks watching on Twitch. You get in the chat and say hi and tell me how you're doing, by the way. All right, to answer your question, let me get back to the question here from Jaycon. When picking a wine, should I pay attention to the year? Have you noticed taste difference in older wines? Sometimes, yes. Subtle differences in some years. And that is a very... It's kind of a loaded question because it kind of depends on the wine, kind of depends on the vintner. Now, these sommeliers, these experts, these wine experts, they have trained their palates so fine, they've got them so finely tuned that they can, some of them can actually pick out the difference between what, not only the terroir of the grape, whether it was on rocky soil or dense soil or whatever, they can also tell sometimes the year that the grape was picked, and it's kind of amazing. It amazes me. I'm not that much of an expert. And once again, I'm an everyman who likes to drink wine. I know what I like and I know what I don't like. That's pretty much it. But and the thing is, that's the difference between me and the sommeliers, is that I represent about 99.99% of people out there. It's pretty much what I am. I'm just like everybody else out there. And so my opinions of my wines, I think in some ways, might be, I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but I think it might be a little more earthy, down to earth, than some of the sommeliers are, because of the fact that, and I'm not dissing the sommeliers at all. I mean, I'm not putting them down. I mean, they're, you know, some of them are really, really good at what they do. But when we get down to just what everyday people drink, a lot of everyday people, they just want a wine that, oh, is this going to be okay? Is this going to be a good buy? Or is this going to be something I can, you know, what kind of wine do I want to take to my friend's house for a birthday party or for a special event or for Thanksgiving or whatever? They just want some general guidance on it. They're not looking for the perfect, you know, oh, I can pick out all the little nuances here and all the little herbs and the spices here. What spice is this? What spice is that? A lot of people aren't really, because a lot of them aren't going to, you know, they're going to get at home. They're going to say, hey, is this a good wine? And I like it. It tastes good. That's basically what a lot of people are going to say. Did it taste good? Did I like it? Did it sit well with my stomach? That's pretty much what a lot of people are thinking when they're taking the wine home. It's like, okay, is this going to taste good or is this going to taste like cardboard or something? You know, I don't like to get caught up in all the little minutiae of the wines, because most people don't. Most people really don't. But when picking a wine, should I pay attention to the year? Somewhat. There are going to be some wines. Now, some wines, they are made in such a way they're so that they try to be consistent from year to year. They try to keep some consistency there, especially some of these really, really big labels that you get of wines that you buy in the store. I guess maybe the 13 Crimes is an example, or 19 Crimes, what am I saying? How many ever crimes there were? Lost count of all the crimes. You go to maybe some of the let's see. What do I have sitting back here? There's a like a rain cloud or something like that, or a even the Camus wines. They try to keep some consistency from year to year. There are going to be some good years and there are going to be some bad years for the grapes. There are going to be some grapes where that year, the climate was just a little bit too dry or too wet for that particular grape, or, you know, it was just too much rain, too much sun, too much one thing or the other, and the grapes might not taste the same as they did the year before. There can be a lot of factors that go into that. Including the soil and soil and the climate are big ones, but there can be a lot of other factors that go even to the time that they get picked can have a lot to do with it. So what these vintners do though is they do try to keep some consistency, and many of them have worked for years and sometimes decades to kind of keep that consistency together, so they can have a wine that tastes that maintains its taste, that same taste from year to year as much as they can. And there are going to be some nuances. There are going to be good years and there are going to be bad years for wine. So yeah, it is something to pay attention to. Like some years are going to be better for this wine than some other years. But for the most part, for commercially grown grapes that are commercially vented and produced and labeled, there's going to be general consistency a good deal of the time. So that shouldn't be a really huge factor. But you can. I mean, if you really get, if you really like, say, like you like a 2016 of this wine or a 2019 of this other wine, and you want to keep that taste together, yeah, it's worth pursuing and just checking and doing a little research to see, okay, is the 2021 vintage or the 2022 vintage, was that a better year or was that a worse year or was it about the same? Yeah, it's worth checking into. But I wouldn't get too hung up on the individual years unless it was widely publicized that, wow, this was a bad year for this wine. And if it's really a bad year for the wine, the word's going to get around. So yeah, you can notice taste difference in some older. Now in older wines, yes, you can. If there's a wine like you open up a 2016 wine in 2023, yes, there can be a big taste difference. And now we're going down a rabbit hole because a lot of it depends not just on whether or not you're opening up an older wine, but also the circumstances in which it was stored, how it was stored, how it was kept, what kind of wine it was, and whether or not it was a wine that could be kept a while. Because there are some wines, and at the beginning of the show, I don't know if you were there for the beginning of the show, this particular bottle has a punt, what's called a punt. It's like a pit. It's a little pit down the bottom of the wine. Some bottles have them, some don't. There are a couple of reasons for that, but a general rule of thumb, not always, but a general rule of thumb has been that if you've got that pit in there or the punt, and the deeper the punt, and the punt's there for a reason, actually, for a couple of reasons, but I'm not going to get into all that right now, because we're running out of time, The punt can often tell you if this wine is one that's meant for a long shelf life or for a short one. Now, wines that really don't have much of a punt or that are kind of a flat bottom, in general, those are wines that you probably want to drink within 1 or 2 years, between within the year that it was vented and the year after that. You don't want to. That's a wine you probably don't want sitting around too long, because they probably won't age very well. For the ones that have the deeper punts in them, if you can tell, and as I said, this is a general rule of thumb. This is not a hard rule about this at all. But usually for the punt, and one of the purposes of the punt in here is so that it can catch a lot of sediment in the wine over time and keep that down in the bottom of the bottle. And that's when the wine is being stored for a long period of time. And those are often wines that can be kept for a while. They can be kept, you can keep them around for, you know, 5 years or 6 years or maybe longer. And in a case like that, yes, with older wines, a taste difference, yes, there is a marked taste difference between with older wines. But a lot of it has to do with how they were kept during that period. And that's a great, you know what, Jaycon, that's a great topic for a whole episode, because we could get into a whole episode of this and really get down into the weeds of that. But it's a great question. And if you want, maybe we can, in the next week or two, maybe we can explore that a little, go a little deeper into it, because it is worth exploring. It's a great question, by the way. Okay, so Jaycon, I started to say this before, and I got off the track as I often do here. But Jaycon, I really, really appreciate your participation in the show tonight. And what I'd like to do for you is I'd like to send you a copy of each of these, the official Drink with Rick Wine Tasting Notebook and the official Drink with Rick Beer Tasting Notebook. These are from drinkwithrick.com. They're available on Amazon for $8.99 each, but I want to send you a copy of each of these for free. Just send them out to, because I really appreciate your participation tonight. I want to thank you for it. And I like to give away stuff just because I can, while I can. So please, if you would like this, you would probably need to do it fairly soon, because I'm running out of copies here on this. But if you can, send me a valid shipping address. It can be a P.O. box. It's fine. I just ship USPS. It can be a P.O. box if you're worried about the security or whatever concerns on that, personal information, that sort of thing. Don't worry. I don't do anything with that except just ship this out to you. That's it. If you want to send me a valid shipping address to rick@savoyamedia.com, that's rick@savoyamedia.com, and that way I can ship you out a copy of each of these two books, by the way. They're notebooks. What you do is you can put your wine tasting notes and your beer tasting notes into these, so you can keep a journal of all the wines. This is great because, you know, you go out to a party or something and you want to bring a bottle of wine, and you're going out for an evening with some friends or whatever, and you want to recommend a wine, or you're thinking about giving somebody a gift, a bottle of wine as a gift, and you're thinking, you know what, I had this really great bottle of wine a few months ago, but I can't really remember what the name of it was, and I can't remember exactly what it was about the wine that I liked. This is a great reference, because you can keep the journal and you can write down the wines that you like, the tasting notes on these, and you can keep this handy so that you can refer to it and say, hey, you know, that's a wine I'd like to give to somebody, or like to take to an event or something, to give out an event. The same thing with the beer tasting notebooks, pretty much the same thing. But once again, if you send me a valid shipping address to rick@savoyamedia.com, I'll get a copy of each of those out to you. Really, really appreciate your participation tonight. Now, I did promise that I was going to review a beer. We're getting kind of late here. So let me go ahead and start the beer tasting. Let's set the wine aside. We know the wine is pretty decent. So let's go ahead and get ready and do the beer. Okay. So the beer that we've got tonight is let me show you the beer again. And it's called Wake Up Porter. This is a vanilla It's a coffee vanilla porter, and it's from Charlotte, North Carolina. Before I get there, let me check the chats one more time here and go into the chats for a minute. And she, my lovely wife, she says, yes, shave it all. So she's already put in. She has already put in her vote. Yes, shave it all on the head. So the question tonight is, the poll is, should I shave it all off? Should I shave it all off and just go completely bald or not? That's the question. And I'll go with whatever you think. If the consensus is that I should keep it as it is, then I'll keep it as it is. But if you think I should shave it all off, we'll go by the consensus for everybody in the chat tonight, then we'll consider doing that. All right, so those of you watching on Twitch, now's your chance to really, really change things with this show. Geez, all four. I know what you think, Chi. I don't know. What do you think, Ed? You think I should do this or not? All right, so this is what we have going on here. Let me, and I've got the beer in the official Drink with Rick ice bucket. There we go, the official Drink with Rick ice bucket. And I do have it chilling here. There it is. The Wake Up Porter. Something tells me that if I have some of this, I'm going to be awake for quite a while. Oh, Ed, yeah, I do have something to show you before. Don't go away, because I think you'll enjoy this. Where was I? Oh, yes. All right, so here is the beer, Wake Up Porter. And let me show you the back of this. The back says, and I'm going to read this. It's kind of hard to read from a distance. Wake Up Porter. Our Wake Up Porter is an irresistibly smooth brew with locally roasted coffee and fresh vanilla beans. We use Central Coffee Company's Sumatra Lintong coffee and carefully chosen specialty malts to create a warm foundation and light body. Madagascar vanilla beans lend a subtle sweetness on the finish that you'll notice at the end of every sip. Oh, I can hardly wait to try this. This sounds great. This is a pint, by the way. 16 ounces, pretty much. This is a pint. 5.8% ABV. And it's made by, this is brewed by birdsongbrewing.com. Birdsongbrewing.com. Brewed and canned in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's an independent craft beer. This is a craft beer, by the way. And Birdsong Brewing was founded in 2011 by a group of friends who share a love for both great beer and great people. That's what it says around the front of that. That's what's wrapped around the front of the can. All right, so let's go ahead and open this beer. And yeah, it's just a kind of pop top there. All right, and let's pour a little bit into the glass. I got a long shot on this. There we go. Let me move these. I don't want to move these. Getting these books messed up. They're nice books. Don't want to mess them up. All right, so let's pour a little bit of beer in here. And that's got a little bit of a head going on it. All right. So looks good so far. Nice, decent head. Wow. I saw a review somewhere where they said that there wasn't much of a head on it. This looks okay. I don't know if it retains the foam very long, but it looks okay for me so far. I'm going to wipe out this mess here. I do need another Drink with Rick coaster for this beer. An official Drink with Rick coaster for the beer. I'll just put that on the mug. This is, very dark beer. Dark complexion. Not unexpected for a porter, and I do love porters. This is a very nice, dark, dark-looking beer. Let's give it a whiff. Oh, well, yeah, it does smell like coffee. It smells very much like coffee. In fact, it smells a little bit more like coffee than the coffee that we brewed last week. No, not that last week. Last week we brewed the French. It was the French roast, and that was, you could smell that down the hallway after I opened the door for the studio. I could smell it down the hallway, and it kept me wide awake till about 4 a.m. I had a little bit of that French roast. For those who didn't see it, you can catch it. It was last week's show. So anyway, this it smells more like coffee than some coffees I've had. We're going to brew another coffee. As a matter of fact, we're going to brew another coffee next week. And because I have it right here. It's a Dunkin' Caramel Me Crazy coffee. Look at that. Dunkin' Donuts has a caramel coffee. We'll brew that next week. I've got it ready to brew next week on the show. Yeah, we brew it live on the show. So this is the beer. And it smells very much like coffee. Now, before I drink it, let me tell you what I found for Wake Up Porter. I went to beeradvocate.com, and they've got some more stats on it than I could find anywhere else. They give it a score of 90. They say it's outstanding. That's what, from beeradvocate.com, they say it is outstanding. You know, there was a dad joke in there. I said we can do some dad jokes. We might have time for a few. I don't even remember what the joke was now. But that was part of the punchline. Let's see. They gave it a score of 90. And they said it seemed to be well-liked. So I guess we'll try it. It wasn't very specific about it. Let's give it a little bit of a taste, shall we? I just dumped some there. Let me give it a little more of a taste. Very much coffee. Has kind of a toffee taste too. And the reason I say it's toffee kind of a taste is because it has a kind of a caramel vanilla kind of taste to it as well. I didn't really switch around my mouth that much. It does have a coffee. Now, the coffee taste has subsided somewhat. A little bit of vanilla taste to it, but it's actually a fairly smooth beer. I wasn't quite expecting it to be as smooth as it is. Now, the coffee taste is, it's a bitter coffee taste, not super bitter, but a little bit bitter. Not like that French coffee that we had last week on the show. That French roast coffee was very bitter, very strong, very bitter. As a matter of fact, I had a cup of it I think this morning or yesterday morning, kind of helped wake me up. But it was not my favorite coffee, as I reviewed it last week. This though is a little on the bitter side, but it's not. I mean, coffee, that's what coffee is, basically. Bitter, somewhat. The foam holds up fairly well, and I saw a review somewhere that they said that it didn't, that it disappeared a lot. They're not happening in this case. It still has a little bit of foam on it. You know, and I'm looking at the wrong monitor here, but I'm going to move it over to camera two. Here we go. There's a fair amount of foam on it, I think. It's surprisingly smoother than I thought it was going to be. And which is, I mean, as the porters go, it's actually pretty decent. Now, I like a vanilla porter. This has some vanilla in it. I do like a vanilla porter. This is more has more coffee in it than vanilla, a lot more coffee. The vanilla taste is just very, very subtle. But and as porters go, what was the other? I had another porter here that I tried not too long ago that I thought was really, really good that I really enjoyed. It doesn't measure up quite to that completely, but it's actually pretty decent, and I would have this again. Yeah. I wouldn't say it's a 90 out of 100, as they said on Beer Advocate, but it's pretty close. I would say maybe an 85 maybe. That's what I would give it. But now on my rating system at drinkwithrec.com, I have a 5-star rating system there for the wines. I'm going to start doing that with the beers and the meads and ciders and all that. But I would say this is a good, pretty close to a, well, maybe a 4.2 out of a 5-star rating so far. I like it. It's, sure, why not? This is what I should have been toasting to, right? Earlier in the show, should have been toasting to that. By the way, I have a couple of toasts to make. A couple more toasts to make. And maybe we'll make them with the beer. So let's toast right now. I want to toast a couple of people, and I'm going to do it with beer instead of wine. Where are my show notes? First toast, I want to give a toast out to my friend Allison, who is a childhood friend, goes way back. Allison and Bill have been celebrating their 39th wedding anniversary today. 39 years. And I want to say that's such an amazing, amazing milestone. I want to say congratulations to Allison and Bill. 39 years of marriage. That's awesome. And I want to say, here's to you. Congratulations. 39 years of marriage. Wow. I want to give another toast, a slight toast, this beer is good. Starting to hit a little bit. Okay, because I had the wine. I want to give a toast to, my son Tom Antio is up in Detroit for a wedding this weekend. He was in a wedding. He wasn't getting married. He was in the wedding. But a good friend of his was married today, and I want to give a shout-out and a congratulatory toast to Xavier and his bride for their wedding today. Congratulations to both of you, and may you have many, 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 many years of marital bliss, a whole lifetime of marital bliss. I wanted to give that toast out to Xavier and his lovely new wife, while I could, and just in case Tommy's watching, you can clip that. That's fine. I don't know if he is now. Probably not. They're probably having a good time at the reception. The reception is probably still going on strong, I bet. It says, "Fuzz, fringe, or skin, you'll be fine whichever way you choose." Okay, see, here's the thing. I said it, but you have to see the way Ed wrote it. He said Yul, as in Y-U-L, as in Yul Brynner. So in that context, fuzz, fringe, or skin, Yul, as in Yul Brynner, be fine whichever way you choose. That's a good pun. Well, thanks. I appreciate that, Ed. So basically, I guess that means there are two votes for yes for shaving the head all the way, I guess. Two votes? Okay. I don't know. What do you say, J-Con? What do you think? You think I should just shave it all off? Now, J-Con said that I should grow the full beard. J-Con said I should grow the full beard. And I don't know how Chi thinks about that. I'll have to ask her about that. Chi, J-Con says that I should shave it all off and grow a full beard. What do you say to that? I already know what she's going to say. I already know what she thinks about that one. I did try to grow a beard again some years ago. We had a contest where I work at bytwowayradios.com. We had a company-wide contest with employees for growing a beard. Whoever could grow the best beard would win. I think they were giving away some money or something, but it was a contest, and I think it lasted 2 or 3 months to give everybody a chance to grow the beard. And then they voted. I did not win, by the way. But we all grew beards, and I did that for a little while. And then after the contest, right after the contest was done, and see, she said I could do the contest, I could participate in it if I just shaved it off right away when it was done. I'm like, okay, yes, dear. But yeah, I did. I shaved it off and it was done. But so I have worn a beard a couple of times in my life. I don't know how. I don't know if she would like the idea of me growing a full beard again, even if I shaved. Well, maybe that's the trade-off, though. I've been resisting doing this. You know, J-Con, you might be onto something here. I've been resisting shaving my head, but if she insists that she wants the head shaved, I wonder if I could say, yeah, I'll do that on the condition that I could grow a beard again. Things that make you go, I know what she would say. This is what she would say. She wouldn't like that too much. Actually, this is more like what she would. This is what she would say.
No, no.
That's my mom, by the way. She's no longer with us, but my mom probably would have said the same thing. All right, so I guess that that does it. Nowhere to go yet. I do want to do, we're going to tell some dad jokes. Anybody got some dad jokes, go ahead and drop them in the chat. We got time for a few dad jokes. By the way, I do have a sci-fi trivia question tonight. For those who missed the sci-fi trivia last week, I do have a sci-fi trivia question. And let me see if I can find out what I did with my sci-fi trivia question, because I have it somewhere. Here it is. Sci-fi trivia question. Here's the sci-fi trivia question for this week. Question 4. Who wrote the screenplay for the movie 2001: A Space Odyssey? Now, this might be a trick question. Who wrote the screenplay for the movie 2001: A Space Odyssey? I'll give you a little bit of time to think about that. You can put your answers in the chat or whatever. It's fine. But the trivia question is, who wrote the screenplay for 2001, A Space Odyssey? Okay. Let you think about that for a minute. Anybody know? I know Ed knows. I'm pretty sure Ed knows. He's a master at movie and TV trivia. Does Chi know? Chi's never seen the movie. Now, Tom Antio has seen the movie. I think he knows. And he's kind of a movie buff. J-Con, do you know who wrote, you in a sci-fi trivia, who wrote the screenplay for the movie 2001: A Space Odyssey? I'll give you another minute or two to come up with it. And I'm pretty sure you can. Now, you know, no Googling. Don't Google it up. I mean, you know, We're on an honor system here, so no Googling it up. Who wrote the screenplay for the movie 2001: A Space Odyssey? I'm going to finish off this beer while I'm waiting there. Go ahead. But anybody know? All right, I'll get back to that in a minute. I'll let you think about it for a minute. Ed says, I was in a beard-growing contest when I was a freshman at University of Colorado. It was really wispy. Then I didn't win, but I got thrown into a lake. What? I'm going to read that again. I was in a beard throwing. I haven't had enough of this. Okay, Ed says, I was in a beard-growing contest when I was a freshman at University of Colorado. It was really wispy then. I didn't win, but I got thrown into a lake. Okay, there is got to be a story behind this one. How you got thrown into a lake? I got to hear this story. Can you tell this story? That's I have to have Ed on the show one of these days live and talk about stuff. All right. So Ed says Arthur C. Clarke wrote the novel, but the screenplay, aha, that's where we get to the trick question here. Okay. That's the trick question on this. Yes. Going back to the trivia game, who wrote the screenplay for the movie 2001 A Space Odyssey? Yes, that is correct. Arthur C. Clarke wrote the novel. By the way, I read the novel when I was in high school. I remember reading the novel, and I read the novel before I saw the movie. And actually, it was years before I saw the movie, I read the novel. And I really loved the novel. And I thought, man, they got to make a movie. Of course, they did. I mean, I knew that they meant it. I knew that Stanley Kubrick made a movie out of it. But because I remember as a kid going to the Howard Johnson's, and they were doing a promotional thing with 2001. They were giving away some kind of a comic book thing, and they had pictures from the movie. And I thought, wow, this is awesome. I'd love to see this movie. And it wasn't until much, much later that I saw – actually saw the movie, and I'm glad I did. It was really cool. But actually, I saw it from up inside the projection booth, as a matter of fact. But that's another story. I read the novel in high school, and I thought, this is really cool. I'd love to see this movie someday. And then years later, I saw the movie, and I thought, well, it's a little different from the screenplay. Pretty close in some aspects, but the book, you got to read the book. Because the book really, the movie, if you have not read the book, the movie, a lot of the movie doesn't make sense to a lot of people. It's a lot of it's left up to some interpretation, a lot of interpretation. But if you read the book really pretty much answers a lot of the questions about the movie. So I had read the book before I went to see the movie. And so when I saw the movie, everything was in proper context. I had it in context, and I really understood what was going on when I saw the movie. It made a lot more sense. If I had seen the movie without reading the book first, there were parts of the movie that probably wouldn't make a lot of sense to a lot of people. And there is part of that movie that you probably should be drinking something. I don't want to give out spoilers. If you've never seen the movie, I don't want to give out spoilers. But yes, Ed says Arthur C. Clarke wrote the novel, but the screenplay. And then he says, I was between a professor and the... Okay, so this is the story behind getting thrown in the lake for growing a beard. So Ed says, I was between a professor and the lake. The professor was thrown into the lake. Wrong place, wrong time. I made a big splash. Oh, wow. Wow. That's a good story. I like that. Wrong place, wrong time. I bet you made a big splash. I got a joke in there somewhere, a dad joke, but I don't have time to formulate it all now. Okay, let's get back to that. Too much going on in this show. All right, so here's the last chance. Who wrote the screenplay for the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey? Ed has basically, I don't want to give away too much here. Ed has basically, nobody else. Okay, this is the last chance. Here we go. All right. So here's the answer. Ed was, he was half right. He was partially right. Ed says, I saw the movie first in Cinerama. If you remember that, I wasn't sure what to think of it. I didn't see it in Cinerama, but I saw it in Super Panavision? The version I saw was in Super CinemaScope. I'm sorry. I saw it in Super CinemaScope. And it was pretty close to Cinerama because they were trying to capture the Cinerama effect of it. But it was in Super CinemaScope. And I think it was a 285 to 1 format, I think is what it was. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was a 285 and one, which was awesome. I loved that. It was, I think the closest, the other closest movie I saw to something like that was sci-fi was, Forbidden Planet, which was really also, Forbidden Planet, I think was also shot in Cinerama. I think it was either Super Panavision or not Super Panavision, but, yeah, it might've been Cinerama that was shot in, so basically the same format or pretty close to it. All right. Well, here's the answer. Who wrote the screenplay for the movie 2001: A Space Odyssey? The answer is Stanley Kubrick and Arthur C. Clarke. It was a collaborative effort. It was a there's a story behind that. Won't go too deep into it, but yes, Stanley Kubrick and Arthur C. Clarke. Now, Stanley Kubrick, who was the director, of course, in 2001. Arthur C. Clarke wrote the book, but Kubrick had approached him to write the screenplay, and the two of them actually collaborated on it and wrote it together. So that was that's the sci-fi trivia. So there you go, Stanley Kubrick and Arthur C. Clarke. Kind of a trick question there, a little bit. Now, if you'd said Stanley Kubrick, you would have been half. You would have been right. You would have been half right. If you'd said Arthur C. Clarke, you would have been right, half right. It was both of them. They did it together. So there you go. Wow, that's good beer. Okay, we're going to close up here for just a moment, but I did promise some dad jokes, so we're going to do some dad jokes. I also have a couple of quick announcements here before we go for the night. Okay, so where was I? All right, I'm just checking on the chats here. Okay, she still wants me to shave it all. She's saying shave it all. So she wants all this shaved, and I think she wants the beard shaved too. You know, something tells me I think my wife's going to win this one because she's the one I have to to live with every day. I see you all once a week. I see her every day. So I do not want to incur the wrath of my wife. I don't want the stink eye from my wife if I'm growing a beard. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, so just about does it for tonight. But I do have a few dad jokes. If you have a couple of dad jokes, drop them in real quick. I do have a couple I wanted to share. And the funny thing is I didn't really write them down. But I saw one earlier this week from a friend of mine who I worked with at WOFL years ago. And it's Channel 35. And let's see. I don't even remember the joke now. By the way, what do you... I got a couple of chicken jokes. Why not? I got chicken jokes. Why didn't the chicken go to KFC? It wasn't on her bucket list. No. Okay, what day of the week are chickens afraid of? Friday. Friday. Get it? Okay. All right. How do you send a chicken a letter? In a henvelope. Envelope. All right. Why did the rooster never come home to his hen? This is terrible. Why did the rooster never come home to his hen? Because he was free range. How do you get a chicken to read your blog? Cluckbait. Why did the young rooster act like his dad? Like feather, like sun. That was really stupid, actually. That was a stupid joke. I'll do one more. What do poetic chickens enjoy? What do poetic chickens enjoy? Spoken word poultry. Yeah. I didn't say there were good jokes. I just said there were dad jokes. I didn't say that. All right. Ed says, I saw the movie first and sent her. I read that. Ed says, as one who uses an E in his name, I'll mention that Clark ends with an E, unlike the way you transcribed it. Yes. I did forget the E, didn't I? My bad. I sure did. I misspelled it. But you are right. You are right. It is Arthur C. Clarke with an E. C-L-A-R-K-E. And I did misspell it. I was doing these really, really quick. I don't know. I've got excuses for everything, don't I? But I misspelled it. Here you go. I fixed that for you, Ed. I just fixed that for you. There you go. Stanley Kubrick and Arthur C. Clarke. And Ed, you are correct. I did misspell it. I did misspell it. So, my bad. They misspelled Arthur C. Clarke's name. See if you remember, as Ed says, see if you remember, why did the chicken have a seance? Why did the chicken have a seance? All right, I give up. Why did the chicken have a seance? Why did the chicken have a seance? I don't remember. okay. So why did the chicken have a seance? I don't know. Do I have that one somewhere? I have what do chickens grow on? What do chickens grow on? Eggplants. They're getting worse, aren't they? Okay. Oh, my goodness, Ed, you win tonight. You win them tonight. Okay, Ed says, why did the chicken have a seance? To get to the other side. That's a good one. That's a good one. Okay, Ed, you get this week's hole in one.
That's a good one.
You get this week's hole in one. Thank you, Ed. By the way, before I forget, Ed, I got something to show you real quick. It's right here. By the way, that's not a green screen. Okay, it's a blue screen there. But no, this is real. This is all real. Those are real bottles of real wine. For those of you who may have seen it, Ed says, I posted a month ago or so ago. You know, Ed, when you've been drinking wine each week as I have during the show, I how that works. But anyway, for those of you who've watched the stream for any period of time, I showed a film, a Super 8 film that I made, and for those of you who know, I've made a lot of Super 8 films in the day, back in the day, shorts and things like the one I showed earlier, the eardrum operation, and a few of them were animated films, and one was called Harry's Climb, and this was done on Cell Animation, and I'm not going to show it tonight, but maybe another time, but I did show it on the show a couple of times in the past. Now, this film took quite a bit of effort, quite a bit of work, and took a long time to do, basically because I was doing it on no budget, as I do everything, as I do this show. I do everything on no budget. Maybe one of these days I'm going to become a millionaire. Right. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's going to happen anytime soon. So, anyway, I worked on this film for quite a long time, and my buddies helped me out with this. Ed helped me out with it quite a bit. When I finished the film, we finished drawing and painting the cells, because it was done on traditional cell animation on Super 8. And we shot the film, we developed it, we added the soundtrack, and we got it out there, and we put it up there in the local film festivals and stuff. And so when I finally finished the film, because it had been on my plate for a long, long time, my good friend Ed did something that was pretty remarkable. Now, I have a lot of award. I do have some awards. So some of my films have won awards, and I've shown some of those films here in the past. It says, sorry, the final flag gag didn't make the cut. There's a story behind that. Ed's referring to there was one other bit at the end of the film where he falls. The character falls. He climbs up a mountain and falls off it and then winds up in a pile of debris and that forms a little tiny kind of mountain. And then the joke at the end was the flag was supposed to stick down at the top of the mound of the mountain. And I had forgotten. We shot the thing. I had the flag. We had done the animation and stuff like that. But when I shot the thing, when I shot the film, I forgot to shoot the sequence of cells where the flag falls down, and I forgot about it until we got the film back, and I was like, oh well, you know, I forgot to add it in. And you remember that very well. I appreciate it. Well, anyway, so yeah, it's always kind of bugged me. But when we finished the film, it was quite an accomplishment for us because we'd spent so much time on the film. And we'd won some awards for some of our other films, like News at Six. We won awards for that. We won awards for, I think we won one for The Analyst. We won one for a few of the other films. We won one for, I think it was for Around the Pool in 80 Laps. And we won several awards. I didn't really win one for we didn't really win one for Harry's Climb, which was it was a lot of work that went into that film, but Ed did something that was pretty cool. And of all of the awards that I've won over the years for some of the films. I've got some down there. I was going to show some of them off, but I'll show them off another time. There is one award that was presented to me that means a lot more than all of those, just because it was very, very personal. It was a very personal award. And this is the Certificate of Accomplishment. Now, I don't know if you can see this here. Let me put it on the other camera here. A Certificate of Accomplishment. And this Certificate of Accomplishment says, I, Ed Anthony, present Rico Savoia with this Certificate of Accomplishment. How exciting it is to see that you have attained your objective. Certainly your eagerness to meet challenges and your ability to see things through will provide you with successful moments such as this one throughout your lifetime. Because you have the energy and the drive to succeed, because you have the determination to do well, you deserve recognition and appreciation. Please accept this certificate in honor of your recent accomplishment. Congratulations, and assign Ed Anthony, Sunday, dated Sunday, March 22nd, 1981, upon the completion of Harry's climb. So there you go. That's the, let me put it over here so I can, I don't know if you can see it. That's, there you go. Upon the completion of Harry's climb. So this, Ed, I want to say that this means, and over the years, this has meant a lot to me. And that's why, yeah, I framed it. I framed it, and I actually, it's been hung on the wall, and it's one that I keep because that means a lot to me. So thank you very, very much for that, Ed. It's much, much appreciated. With that, one of these days, maybe I'll show the film again, such as it is. Anyway, with that, I want to thank everybody for being here with me tonight. And it's time to close it up. It's past time. Look at that. Wow. I did have an announcement to make. We're going to show Space Apes, the feature film, the one and only feature film that I made back in 1993. We are going to show Space Apes in its entirety, in segments, but in its entirety during the show, during the wine stream. Now, in the past, we've shown it after, in the after show. And that after show does not get seen on the venues after the fact because it gets cut. It gets edited out after that. It was just for the after show. But this November, I'm going to show, we're going to do a special episode of Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. And I'm going to show the entire film, Space Apes from Ice Planet Alpha, and during the show. So everybody can get to see it. It will be there because it's going to coincide with the general release of the film, of this 35-year-old film to the public. And it'll be available on DVD. That's what I'm working on right now, to get it out there on DVD. So it says that, not thar. Ed says, I forgot about that thar certificate, and I got framed. It's all good, Ed. It's all good. So I just want to let everybody know, if you haven't seen the film, you'll have your opportunity to do that here this coming November. Also, the holidays, coming holidays, we're going to be doing the drinking game again, and I'll be giving away prizes, so show up for that as well. All right, so I think that's got it for tonight. Any other final thoughts before we close up for tonight? Anyone, Jaycon, I want to say thanks again for being on the show tonight, part of the show. Remember that everybody here is part of the show, and I mean that. All right, well, tonight it's been a great. I've had a great time with it. I want to give you a final review of the wine real quick. The final review of the wine is the Belhara Estate Malbec, 2021 Malbec, and it's pretty decent wine. It's 13.5% ABV. Some blueberry, and let me see. I haven't tried it again for a while. Still, I'm not tasting any plum still. It says plum. I'm still not tasting plum. But blueberry, not blueberry. What am I saying? Blackberry. Where am I? Blackberry, I've still got my head in this beer. Blackberry and a little bit of black cherry. And it's a little oaky, French oak. Okay, it's good. Medium tannin, a little sweet on the tongue. Goes down pretty good. Has a long finish. It still has a nice long finish. It's opened up a little bit more. It's actually pretty smooth wine, and I like it. I do like this wine. It's pretty good. It's $8.99. I purchased it at Trader Joe's, our local Trader Joe's in Charlotte, North Carolina. Pretty decent. The beer, as for the beer, Wake Up Porter, pretty good. This is actually pretty good. I like a good porter anyway. That's the back of it. Let's see if I can get the front of it back up here. There we go. Get the front back. Wake Up Porter, really good. I really enjoyed it, and it's good. It's actually getting better as they get down into it. Yeah, and you know what? As I get more down into this beer, I'm getting the coffee is really strong. It's getting stronger as I'm getting down to the bottom of the glass. It's a very strong coffee flavor, and a little bit of vanilla in there. A little bit of a toffee taste. Pretty good. I like it. It's not bad. 5.9% ABV, I think is what they said. 5.8. Who's going to quibble over a 0.1%? Okay. But pretty decent. Pretty decent. So all overall, it was the beer and the wine were pretty good. Next week, I've got another wine to try, and we're going to have a coffee. I think I showed the coffee earlier. Anyway, so I want to thank everybody here for being with me here tonight. It's getting late. We've got to close up. I've got to make these things shorter because I can't afford to make them longer or as long as they are now. I want to thank everybody for being here with me tonight. I want to thank my good friend Ed for being here in the chat. Also, Jaycon, thank you for being here on Odyssey, and really, really, really appreciate it. And don't forget to send your shipping address to RickSawyerMedia.com so I can send you those two books. It's much, much appreciated. I think you'll enjoy them. My lovely wife, Chief, for being in the chat on YouTube, and everybody who is watching me on Twitch but did not get into the chat. That's interesting. But I want to thank each and every one of you for being here with me tonight. Now, at this point, I do want to bring up my good friend and yours, the official mascot of Drink with Rick, Roadkill Bill. Roadkill Bill has a special message for everyone, including me. Do not drink and drive. Drink in the comfort of your home, your office, your apartment, your hotel room, wherever you are. Do not drink and drive. Very, very important. If you have to go somewhere, call an Uber, call a Lyft, call a friend, call a cab, call someone you trust who hasn't been drinking, who has a valid driver's license, who is legal to drive, who you trust to take you home, wherever that is. Otherwise, just stay put because it's not worth it. You don't want to put yourself in danger. You don't want to put others in danger. And you may think you're okay, but if you've been drinking, you're probably not. Okay? Don't text and drive either because that's also very dangerous. Because I want you to have a great week. A great week coming up. But I want you to have a safe week so you can enjoy that great week coming up. And so you can join me here again next week on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, and we can all get together and drink with Rick. Good night.